Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 210. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate that. And those of you that leave ratings and reviews on iTunes and share and like and comment and all those things, that just helps me help as many coaches as I possibly can. Also want to thank our sponsors and specifically Iron Grip for bringing these episodes to you for free each week. I only partner with companies that I believe in and highly recommend that you reach out to them if you're in the market. And if you're not, I'd appreciate it if you just reach out to them and just let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the show. Super excited to have Barry Hayden with us. Barry and I go back to your New York Met days when I was reaching out and asking for advice about baseball strength and conditioning. And, you know, my first job was with the Royals. I think you know that. And then went to, you know, when I was at University of South Florida, I remember specifically reaching out on some baseball issues. But Barry's the senior specialist at Alter G. He also has his own performance company there in New York City, and Barry, you got a great background, man. You've started a couple of businesses. You spent quite a bit of your career in professional baseball between the Rangers, the Pirates, and the Mets. You had a little bit of time in pro tennis, I think, even. And now with Alter G, which one of those experiences kind of best defines you as a coach?
Yeah, great question there, Ron. I would have to say it goes back to my internship with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I was in school at University of Pittsburgh, and I was going to go physical therapy major was the track I was on. And Dusty Baker, manager of the Nationals, who just swept the Mets, was in town this past weekend, so it was a great weekend. I'm actually a Nationals fan. Now, wherever Dusty goes, that's my team, so I met Dusty when he was a player back in Dodgertown, Vero Beach, and relationships are so important, as we know, in this world. So Mackie Shilstone was the strength conditioning consultant for the Giants, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard of Mackie. Have you heard of Mackie?
Yeah, huh? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he's been around a long time, and he read me like a textbook, and he said, Barry, you're not a physical therapist, you're a strength coach. And, use your relationship with Dusty, and you should get involved in baseball, because this was before a lot of teams even had strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
So thanks to Mackie, he kind of routed me and said, go towards strength and conditioning. So I changed my major the next day, got on the phone. I called Dr. Warren Sipp, and he was one of the first strength coaches hired by Willie Stargell, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Called him up on the phone. He was in his weight room. They had a home game, getaway day, and I just started a conversation like we're talking. And, I had to throw Dusty Baker's name in there. And a lot of people will throw names in a conversation, and really, Dusty Baker's like a second father of mine.
Yeah,
so sure. I used it in that conversation. He goes, oh, by the way, we're going out to play the Giants this weekend. Talk to Dusty. I'm like, go right ahead, man. So when the plane landed, when the wheels hit the ground, I don't think there were cell phones back then. But when he got into his office, Warren Sipp asked me how quickly I can come down to his office for an interview, for an internship while I was at University of Pittsburgh. So, man, I got down there, and Warren, you know, brought me on the spot there with the Major League team as an internship. And Warren Sipp, I don't know how many people have heard of him, but he's a legend in my book.
Yeah.
And he was a philosophy major, played football at Michigan State, and he just taught me everything that wasn't in a textbook in the strength conditioning world and life, and a lot of good advice for me, and it's a great opportunity to get me kickstarted in the strength conditioning world.
While you were there with Warren, what was it about him, or what was it that you learned that really kind of, you know, that you would say best kind of put you down the right path, you know, of your coaching philosophy and all.
Yeah, I got that right now. I got that in my heart, man. It's engraved in my my genes.
Sure.
It's the first thing, first minute I walked in there. And again, he was a philosophy major, so when he spoke, you know, he knew how to get into you, and into your mind and your head. And he said, take a look around you. He goes, just remember this. This is the advice I'm going to give you as you go into the strength and conditioning world. It's not how big the guys look, how great they look in uniform, how much muscle they have on them. It's can you keep them healthy and injury-free? He got into the specifics of your five starting pitchers. Can you keep those guys healthy? If you can keep those guys healthy, I can guarantee you the team that you're with will be in the mix for the playoff run to get into the playoffs. From that point on, you can't guarantee if you're going to win the World Series because so many things can happen. But he said you would be in the mix if you can keep your five starting pitchers healthy. Then he said the other thing is keep your guys on the field, your field, you know, your regular players, and also keep your extra players ready. Keep them in shape, ready to go, ready to get in the game. So it wasn't about, you know, just hitting the weights and getting them big and, you know, going for that macho thing. It was,
right.
He said everyone's different, too. You can't go by textbook. Every guy's different. He's got a different personality. You know, this is I went right into the big league level right from college. So it's no minor leagues. I was right there with him with, you know, big names back then with the Pirates. It was Jay Bell and Bonds had just left. Benia just left. But they had some big names. Andy Van Slyke.
Yeah.
Those guys. So, you know, I was right in the big leagues right from the get-go. I didn't have to ride the bus. You know what I mean?
I did that as well. I got to ask now. I mean, and I think that's there's a lot to be said for that. You know, the Pareto principle is, you know, focusing on the 20% that has, you know, that does 80% of the production as opposed to the 80% that only has 20% of the production. And those five starting pitchers, obviously, at, you know, in baseball, that's a big deal. You mentioned, you know, keeping them healthy. What was the trick? What did you do to keep those guys healthy?
Well, here's the next great meeting I had. So I was with the Pirates for about a year, year and a half, my senior year. Man, I did everything, too. I got into throwing BP, catching. I was a catcher in junior college baseball, so I was catching major league pitchers and stuff. So he said the other thing, if you want to stay in the game, make yourself very valuable.
Yeah.
Be able to do a lot of different things. So that was another advice by him. But then I graduated. I moved out to Phoenix under the advice of Dusty Baker to go to a baseball mecca. It was during the strike a year in baseball, which was 94, 95. And went out there and I landed an interview with the Texas Rangers to go to spring training as a, at that time, intern. So my first day on the job in Port Charlotte, Florida, Texas Rangers, we didn't have, again, back in those days, many teams didn't even have weight rooms, you know. We had a tent, and we put some equipment out there, and I walk out there, and there's Reed Ryan, he's now president of the Houston Astros, and we all know his father, Nolan Ryan.
Yep.
I got to have a sit-down conversation in person the way that we're talking right now. With Nolan Ryan, so what better person
no doubt.
To talk to about staying healthy as a pitcher and longevity as a pitcher. So I learned a lot from Nolan Ryan. I actually replaced Tom House.
Yeah.
With the Texas Rangers. Yeah. So I went in as an intern. I came out of spring training as a director of minor league strength and conditioning for the Texas Rangers.
Right.
And then the major league strength coach was Tim Lang.
Yeah.
I was understudy. Of Vern Gambetta, so
yeah.
I got to learn a lot of Vern principles, and we had a coach who was from Cuba. He shared with me a lot of the stuff that Cuban players were doing, which I call country strong, grabbing tires, whatever you can grab, boat rope, and all these things before everyone's using a rope now. You know, it's kind of put in positions where I could be ahead of my time.
What was it that Nolan told you?
He was big on scapular strengthening, and he would do it right after he pitched. You can look up in the Nolan Ryan Pitcher's Bible, which is a great book that I studied.
Right.
Kind of based my program a lot off of that, so that's a great book. I know I haven't mentioned my top books yet, but Nolan Ryan Pitcher's Bible. And scapular work, 3-to-1 ratio of scapular exercises to anything on the front side, chest, that area. So a lot of pull downs, rows, rhomboid rows was a great exercise I learned from Tim Lang via Vern Gambetta. So a lot of retraction, and also work out right after you pitch. Yeah. Nolan Ryan, this is a great story. He actually rode the life cycle for an hour every time the game was over. Even did it on his perfect game, 9 innings. Before he talked to the media, he had to ride his bicycle. So he's very consistent. Consistency is another thing that Warren Sipp was about, Nolan Ryan was about. Anything you're consistent at, it's going to really help you.
Absolutely. Well, as a young intern, you probably made, and through your coaching career, especially working at a high level early, you probably made lots of mistakes. What was maybe one of the biggest mistakes you made and kind of how you learned from it?
Life mistake or?
Coaching mistake.
Coaching mistake. I would say with the Mets. So I was with the Rangers for 2 years, and I was pretty young, and I got to the big leagues fast. So like I thought. Talk to you about. And when I went to the Mets, I got into the big leagues, the charters, the hotels, and I would say I got a little bit too close relationship-wise with the players. And, that's something for a lot of people to learn. Yeah, you want to be close to them. And it's funny. So there's another good story of getting close to the player. I didn't really want to get close. I got the job with the Mets.
Yeah,
I go down to Port St. Lucie, and I like to still play things and have some fun myself. So there's an exterminator in the weight room. It's about 2 weeks before spring training was starting, early February. Started up a conversation. I like to talk to everybody, and we had a good conversation. I said, "Hey, I was looking for a softball team." "Oh, it goes, I got a team. Why don't you come out tomorrow night playing our softball team?" So I go out. He throws me a shirt, and the shirt is actually strip club. So I go out to right field. I've never played on this team before, didn't know anybody, just moved to Port St. Lucie. Ball's hitting the gap, first inning. We converge on the ball with the right center fielder. He comes up with the ball, he throws a P into second base and throws a guy out trying to get a double. We go in the dugout, I go, "Oh wow, you got a great arm, man, great throw." He goes, "Oh, thanks a lot, man." I go, "What's your name?" He goes, "Oh, Jason Isringhausen. I pitch for the Mets." I go, "Okay, nice to meet you. I'm your new strength coach for the Mets." I know this, that Jason Isringhausen just had Tommy John surgery about like 4 months before that.
Oh, geez.
This young man, Isringhausen, had a long career, right? He was country strong. He's from Illinois, the country in Illinois. And, he's just thick-headed and out there competing, on his own. And right. That was a bad position for me as a strength coach. So, again, it's all about trust with the players. I couldn't go in and rat him out. I didn't want to do that because I would lose the trust of the players. So I just kept it to myself. And next day, Steve Phillips, the GM, comes charging at me hard, man. Right after team stretch, comes right into my face. "What are you doing? Why didn't you tell us?" I said, "Mr. Phillips, I need the player's trust. Like, if I went out and ratted him out, that would ruin my job and my position."
Right.
And, everything starts from the beginning, first impressions.
No question.
And I wasn't going to do that. So, but I did get a little too close my first year with a lot of players. And I learned from that quickly, and I turned that around going into the next year. Reversed that around, so.
Yeah, it's hard to do, especially not to do in baseball. And I had that experience in NFL Europe with, because we lived together, we ate together, we worked together, the whole deal. And so you had to learn how to keep a level of distance there, or that coach athlete relationship. And that's definitely something that each young strength coach has to learn for sure.
Yeah,
I know you and I.
Getting in the big leagues and going on those charter flights and five-star hotels and stuff was a big learning experience for me.
Yeah, sure. you and I were talking at the combine quite a bit, that you've really kind of focused in on, you know, blood flow modification, and I've had Chris Caviglia on before, and we've talked about this as well, but, you know, obviously that was, you know, in Australia, he's doing a lot of that, and not a whole lot of guys, you know, really kind of, you know, doing that in the States here. Talk a little bit about, you know, what it is, you know, why should we be doing it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, I was on Joe DeFranco's show talking about it, so I know, you know, we don't have much time here, but it's, you're biohacking your body, you're tricking your body. So when I got exposed to this, it was through the creator of Alter G, his father, NASA scientist and stuff like this. So it was initially Katsu.
Yep.
So Sean Whalen brought me aboard with Katsu. He got me a demo unit. Again, I like to test it on myself. I'm my own lab. So for 3 months, I was my own lab. I got a set kit from my father, who's 70 years old. I wanted to test it on him, see how he responded. And I wasn't going to tell anybody. I wasn't going to put my reputation on the line, you know, sharing this with people, because whenever you bring in blood flow, it's something new, you know. And it's true. When I started telling, once I became a believer and I tested it myself and I could feel the results of it, I started telling people. People looked at you like you're an alien, like, what are you talking about, man? And you know, I said, trust me on this. Trust on me. It's gonna come on the forefront. And you know, I said, you should learn now, learn about this, because I believe it's only going to grow. And here we are. It's been about 2.5 years, 3 years ago, and it's taken off. You know, it really is. Last week I was with Alex Guerrero at TB12. I got Mike Barwis on board. He's a great science guy. Mm-hmm. And you're biohacking your body. You're tricking it, and you're getting fast twitch muscle fiber, stimulating that with less weight. In less time, it's like that magic bullet that right. People have been looking for, and I'm trusting it more and more. And I test myself, and I go back to the traditional weights, and you know, I got a little wisdom here, little years on me, but my strength is going up, which is really interesting. So the biggest thing is you get a systemic release of HGH, human growth hormone,
yep.
Your own hormone, and there's nothing to be concerned about, because it's your growth hormone.
Right.
So you could get tested and tested and tested. And, yeah, you keep doing the blood flow workouts, you're getting about 280% increase in HGH during the workout, and continues on for a little bit before that drops off. As we all know, the science of natural release of growth hormone, it takes a really intense workout with heavy weights to get the release that you get in 10 to 11 minutes doing a blood flow workout.
So for coaches that have no idea of Katsu or anything, run us through what that would be. You know, you're putting the cuff, you know, putting the cuff on, you're...
Here we go, right here.
Yeah.
This is a
workout right now, baby. I like
it. Yeah, and I'm not with Be Strong. I'm helping them with education. I made the conversion because it just makes sense. I was up at Perform Better with our friend Chris up there in their beautiful performance facility, took them through it. It's great because it's affordable, Be right. Strong, and it's safety of it, because that's a big concern, the fear. People, you hear blood flow, Dwight Howard talked about this on ESPN, is you got to get past the fear with it. And with Be Strong, as you can see, these pillows are in here. And so blood flow works. It's not occlusion. A lot of people are using that term, occlusion, restriction. I don't even like to use that. I'm letting Sean Whalen know. I'm saying you need to change the name to regulation. So you're regulating the return of venous blood flow back. So you're getting muscle contractions, you know, in the hands.
Right.
Blood's coming down. You're slowing down the return of it. So that throws off the homeostasis in the limb, increases lactic acid. It's the increase in lactic acid that stimulates the HGH release. It's also a decrease in oxygen to the muscle, so we know less oxygen in the muscle, you're going to get into the fast-twitch anaerobic muscle firing patterns, recruitment of fast-twitch muscle fibers. That's the biohacking that's going on with the body. And then also you need to have vasodilation, accommodate the engorgement of blood. It really swells up in the limb or in the legs if you're doing the legs. So you're going to get nitric oxide release, which is going to open up the blood vessels to create more space for the volume of blood that's engorged in that area. Mm-hmm. And then you also get, you know, the research shows that most of the research is all in Japan. We're starting to get a trickle of research going. And as we know here in the United States, research can take time. I don't want to wait for research.
Sure.
So, again, I try to be my own lab. And I do study the research in Japan, which is probably got more validity than United States here research. And there's a ton of it over there in Japan with the katsu.
Right, right.
Yep.
So now, you know, obviously in the lab over there and whatnot, but how would you implement that into, if you were back with the Mets right now, how would you be implemented it into your program?
Yeah, well, we got the Mets on board. They're using, a lot of people might have saw Cespedes on board using it. And I was with Dr. David Olchek, who's the head of the medical department for the Mets, on Friday. So it was a great week. And, you know, he's a big name. He's right up there with Dr. Andrews.
Yeah.
And I don't want to name any names, but they've had some success with a pitcher who had surgery and wasn't getting any better after a year and a half. Within a month, he was better.
Yeah.
1 month time, he got better.
So,
and,
I mean, again, are you using it just with your injured athletes, or are you using it with anybody and everybody?
I would use it with everybody. And again, I want to turn people on, not turn them off. That was another thing that I learned from Dr. Warren Sipp, and Bobby Bonilla taught me that, actually. Turn them on, B. You got to turn them on. Don't turn them off. So I know a lot of guys can't handle the burn, because you get the burn with this.
Right.
You talk about the muscle. Feel the burn.
Yeah.
You feel the burn. There's some athletes out there that don't lift weights, won't go overboard with it, won't take it to the point of burn because they don't like that feeling.
Right.
So, again, I would go lighter, you know. There's a whole process of this, and we're putting together education. I would go lighter on the base wrap, higher on the optimal pressure, and just slowly turn them on. You know, a lot of people freak out if they start to see their veins come out, you know. And I wouldn't probably have that happen early on. And again, adaptation occurs, so
sure,
people can tolerate it more. Just like lifting weights, there's an adaptation period with the human body. So go really light and then gradually ease into it and try to be consistent with it.
Sure. And so kind of set rep protocols, how would you go about?
There is. There's a rest period of 30 seconds, and it's, again, tops. And this is all on Be Strong, Go Be Strong. We have a great app we put together. That's the app that I recommend for people. Even if you don't buy a unit, you can just put your email in, go in, and you can go through a lot of great videos that were put together with Jim Stray Gunderson, who's out in Park City. He's an MD, and he's a sports science guy, and he does physical therapy. He's just a brilliant guy, and he puts everything in layman's terms too, which is great. He doesn't talk over your head from a science. He can if he wants to, but you know, a lot of times you just want to get the nuts and bolts.
Sure.
And he supplies that, and I spent a lot of time with him. But, you know, 30 seconds rest. I usually go three exercises, three sets of each exercise, and usually I'm 9 minutes, I'm done with upper body. To do a little warm-up, and katsu has what's called a cycle. I just do some hand movements, no weights in my hand, just to get the blood, start to get the engorgement of the blood in the limb, and then get into the exercises. Some people, I'll start off with two exercises and just get it off them right away. Some people, then I'll build into four exercises, and you can go about 20 minutes tops.
Okay.
That's pretty hard to do with the arms. Most people are just like, okay, I'm ready. It's been too long of a burn. Let's get it off. So I like it. At first I was doing it as icing on the cake after a workout. Now I like it because you get your adrenaline, because your homeostasis is off. You get a great adrenaline rush, and then you get the growth hormone. And I tell people it's like 10 cups of coffee without the coffee. So you get this surge of energy, and it's great for going in, taking it off, and going into your traditional workout. And I've been going less traditional workout too, which is helpful for me in my busy life.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so... I'm kind of going more pre-workout blood flow. Legs, you can go a little bit longer because you have more space in your legs to accommodate the engorgement.
Right.
So I've gotten up to 20 minutes. I will work with endurance athletes, even go past the 20 minutes, get them running in the Ultra G It's great because it's less weight. So Ultra G is great because you can unload an athlete down to 50, 60% body weight. And then I can put the B-Strong belts around their thighs and have them run in Ultra G without, you know, the pounding on the joints.
Sure.
Wear and tear on the joints.
You mentioned B-Strong a couple times. And, you know, I know the Katsu kit was, I mean, I don't know the exact amount, but it was, you know, probably $7,000-$10,000, wasn't it? You know.
Yeah, Katsu runs like $3,000-$5,000
okay.
per unit. Delphi is something that a lot of teams are getting into using. And Delphi is a tourniquet. I don't want to get into a big debate right now, but yeah, Delphi is a tourniquet for surgery. Again, Be Strong, created by a NASA scientist, his son, Stanford student who invented the Alter G, which is pretty good technology. Let's put together the B-Strong, and it's more comfortable, safer. You can take it anywhere. I can take an athlete outside, throw a baseball with it. Been talking to Alex Guerrero about some things that he's going to use with his client to help him out. And it's the versatility. You can travel with it, throw it in the backpack, take it on the field, run sprints down a track. Yep.
What's that? How's that run compared to Katsu Kid or Delphi or something along those lines, percentage-wise?
Yeah, well, it's about $375 with the discount, my discount code. I can definitely supply that for your listeners.
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
B-Promo.
B-Promo.
OB Strong is the website. B-Promo is the discount code. Sweet. I'm getting a lot of people ordering it. And again, I tell people that's pretty affordable, man. Just go ahead and even before you put it on the athlete, start using it on yourself and trust it yourself and become a believer. Because if you don't believe in it and you're trying to put it on an athlete, they're going to pick up on that energy from you.
Yeah, sure. So you
become the believer and, you know, be your own lab. Don't wait for the research.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
I did that with Justice with the Jets. And, you know, I know he's putting on a lot of guys now. So got him on board.
Well, man, that's awesome. Well, you know, we end the show with some resources here. I know you gave him quite a bit of coaching advice that you received, but what's maybe the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Again, keep your players on the field ready, you know, to perform, not how good they look. Just keep them healthy. And whatever you got to do to keep them healthy, you know, all the way around with nutrition. I just started doing it by the life that I live, what I eat, how I sleep. Leading by a good example, me working out, getting in, running sprints with them and stuff, but keep them on the field,
right?
Stretch it, flexibility, all, you know, all the important things when it comes to do what we do. Just don't get set in the one way too. Always look to grow and learn. And that's what I love about your show, Ron, is it's great. A lot of people sharing wisdom and advice. I've learned a lot from your show. So continue to grow, keep an open mind and learn.
Appreciate that. No, that's awesome. Yeah, you mentioned you know, Nolan Ryan's book, the app, the Be Strong app, yeah, and obviously the website. You got any other books, apps, or websites that you recommend?
Yeah, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm sure that book's probably been mentioned on your show.
Steve,
book's tore up. It's you know, like a Bible. I travel with it everywhere, and I've read it probably 5 times. Another book is Who Moved My Cheese, which is a short book. Change.
Yeah.
We all undergo change. You know, I'm all set for the quote, too, that you asked for. So,
Yeah.
Here's my wife's quote. She came up with this one. It's up on our wall right where our steps are that our kids see every single day, and we repeat it with them. Is champions make changes. Losers make excuses.
I like it.
Yep.
I like that a lot. Champions make changes. What was it?
Losers make excuses.
Losers make excuses.
Awesome. How true is that?
Your wife got. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
Well, man, this has been fun, brother. I really enjoyed it. And again, I mean, we came in the business I came in a little bit later, but about the same amount of time. And just, I think the big thing is just seeing guys like yourself. And guys like me that, you know, we're, you know, 20 plus years into the business, 25 years into the business, and we're, you know, you're still on this quest for knowledge to where you're reaching out to Japan to learn new techniques. And I think that for the young coaches that are listening, I mean, that's that quest for knowledge, that lifelong learner, that's the key to longevity in this business. And never being too fixed on a certain philosophy or training protocol or piece of equipment, but constantly, you know, looking and searching and trying new things and doing them on yourself first and, you know, and all those things. I think that's admirable. And I appreciate you sharing that and coming on the show, man.
Yeah, I'm wearing the hat TB12, and that's probably, you know, I think the argument and debate has been solved after last year's Super Bowl, but for that guy at his stature, he's one of the most humble person I've ever met. And I had the opportunity to train him in the Ultra G first day I met him. And, you know, we all know it. Reading it, there's a lot of stories about the life he's living, of what he eats, how he sleeps, his training philosophies can be a lot different than a lot of other philosophies out there. And a lot of people could say, oh, that doesn't make sense, that's wrong and stuff, but must be working. Guy's yeah. Close to 40.
And then at the top of the game right now, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, still going strong. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right, man. Thank you, Ron. Look forward to seeing you in Knoxville.
Thanks, buddy.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.